Welcome, everyone. This is Rosalind Sadaka, founder of the Child-Centered Divorce Network, and I'm here in commemoration of International Child-Centered Divorce Month in January, and I'm very excited to be sharing with you an interview with an expert that has a different take from some of the other conversations we've been having during this month. And her name is Carol Morgan. Carol is known as the Dream Activator, and she loves to show people how to activate their dreams and access inner wisdom. And the reason we're excited about having her participate is that she is an expert on children's dreams and nightmares. And I know all of us as parents have had the experience of having our children wake up with nightmares, fears, and anxieties, and not knowing quite how to handle that and what it means. When you combine that with divorce issues and the many challenges, emotional and psychological challenges that are connected to divorce and parenting and the effects of divorce on children, then you could see how important it is to be having this conversation with her. And her mission is very important to Carol because she's here to help children learn from and overcome nightmares. A child's confusion, insecurities, and other fears are revealed when a nightmare occurs, says Carol, and she's developed effective methods and tools to make it easier for a child to overcome their nightmare and even have fun in doing so. Carol has been recognized locally, nationally, and internationally by audiences that have enjoyed her informative presentations, her workshops and interviews and teleseminars. And she is here today to share her wisdom with us. So I am just delighted to be welcoming Carol Morgan to us and introducing Carol to our listeners today. Thank you, Carol, for joining me.
It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Oh, well, there are so many things that we can be focusing on, but let's start with some questions that I think every parent, and especially parents who are divorced, will have regarding their children, and that is, should we be concerned when a child has a nightmare?
Absolutely. I think it's very important to talk to the child and find out what that nightmare is about. It's not something that you would say, oh, it's only a bad dream, go back to bed. It's something that you really need to look at and discuss it with your child because you're validating a child's fears.
So I hear the validating a child's fears as really being very significant because I know in everything that I coach about in communication skills, that everyone wants to be validated, including our children. And if we poo-poo something and make light of something that is traumatic for children, I imagine that's going to even deepen their anxieties and fears and create more problems down the line. Is that so?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, can imagine even us. If we weren't validated as children, then we come into adulthood with our insecurities and our lack of self-esteem. So the way a child feels is extremely important.
Well, that's the first thing that we have to keep in mind. So what is the first thing that a parent should do if they are addressing the child has had a nightmare? Are there several steps or priorities in how we approach this?
Yes, the first thing you need to do is calm the child down and then ask the child what was the dream or the nightmare about and have them describe it the best they can and how did it make them feel.
That how did they make them feel, I bet, is very, very important because that's the essence of the impact it had on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's not only whether the parents are going through a divorce. It could be anything in a child's life. Are they going to a new school? Did they get into a fight with somebody at school? Do they think somebody is trying to attack them? Maybe a maybe a bully, we don't know, but it's also you need to take into consideration what did they watch, what did they do or watch before they went to sleep.
Because that could have an impact on them as well.
Absolutely. And so you have to get to the bottom of it.
Mm-hmm. So they're telling you and they're describing in the best way they can. And are you taking notes? Are the details important, or is it just getting to the essence of what they're feeling?
I think the details are important. Their feeling is important. It's part and parcel. You don't want to put a Band-Aid over the situation. You want to get to the cause. And if I know if I'm afraid, I want my fears to be calmed down. I want somebody, you know, as a child, wouldn't it be wonderful to be held by a parent and say, it's okay, let's discuss it. What did you feel? Who was after you? What did the dream incorporate? I mean, all of this is vital.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so once we ask about the dream, what do we do next?
You repeat the dream. You show that you really heard the child and you want to help the child get to the bottom of it. So that's why you do want to know the details, because let's say there's a, quote, monster. Who does the monster represent to them? Is there somebody in their life? And when you talk to them, and you really have to be almost like a Sherlock Holmes, you have to talk to them and ask questions and finally get down to the real cause of it, because our symbols, like a monster, are symbolic of what's happening. And a lot of times they'll run away from it, when in reality, if you can encourage the child on how to turn around and face that monster, ask, what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to tell me? And there are other techniques that we can discuss, what questions, how to use a child's imagination. Ask the child, what would you do? You know, how would you treat this monster? Are you going to turn this monster into a friend? Are you going to offer this monster cookies and milk? Or are you going to zap it? But if you zap it away, are you really handling the underlying cause?
I would imagine that the age of the child will affect a lot of this conversation and the techniques that you use. Are there differences in approaches depending on ages of children?
I think that's a good question. I think a very, very young child, a three-year-old, would have difficulty, because I have a great-grandchild who is having a dream of snakes, and I'm trying to work with her on that, and I know what's going on in her life, but yet she has a fear of going to sleep now, so, you know, the parents and the grandfather are working with her. But this can really affect different people. I mean, maybe a 10-year-old would have a different feeling concerning snakes, whereas an adult might think, okay, it's a snake in the grass. Maybe someone's going to jump out and get me. But all of these definitions, Roz, have to be very personalized, because what means something to me or to a child might mean something else to another child or another adult. And that's so important to recognize, that dream symbols are personalized. They're individual to that person's life.
Which means, I imagine, a lot of those books that are out there that say a frog represents this and a circle represents that are really not that valid, because it's a very individualized interpretation from what you're saying.
I think they might help to a certain degree. They might give a person a starting point. However, I so strongly believe that if you have a dream journal and you have a section symbols, you're going to see that meant one thing to you at one age might mean something totally different to you later on as you grow. So I really believe and the deepest part of me that dreams are individual. Dreams also are real experiences, and we bring them back in the form of their experiences that we bring back as a nightmare, a dream. I don't know whether you've ever had a dream that felt like a real experience. You didn't know whether it really happened or not.
Oh, yes.
So, children.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. So you know what I'm talking about, what I'm referring to. So, you know, dreams, children have nightmares. They can be nightmares from, like I said earlier, from a movie they watched. So it might be wise to not let your child watch a scary movie before bed. You know, maybe you need to monitor. Maybe you need to monitor the child, what they watch. And also when parents are going through a divorce, they might have separation anxiety, separation dreams. That might show up in the dream state. And I think you really have to work with giving the child a sense of security and not let them be the pawn in a divorce.
Yes, that's so important, and we talk a lot about that at the Child Centered Divorce Network. So it's important for both mom and dad to be aware that if children are experiencing any kind of signs of anxiety or stress or nightmares or fears or sleeping issues and things like that, that it isn't uncommon for it to be related to the stress that they're experiencing in the divorce drama while it's going on and even after it's going on. And we want to encourage both parents to be talking to one another about these things, because the child may be in one home or the other, and it's good for both parents to be aware that certain issues are taking place so that they can both be alert to them and try to be on the same page in what to do. Why don't we look at some of the other techniques that you suggest for handling nightmares and other kinds of sleeping problems?
Okay, you can. You know, I talked to you about offering the monster or the nightmare, whoever is in it. A parent can really work with the child and reframe the dream. By that I mean we have the ability to change a dream. And I think children are probably more able to do this more quickly than a grown-up, because I've changed the ending of a dream and it took me like a day to do it, but I did it. So the child can ask a loved one to be with them in the dream, whether it's a mother, whether it's a grandparent, maybe it's a teacher, or maybe even if it's someone they believe in, you know, God, Jesus, whoever they believe in, to have them with them in the dream state. They can call for help, and they can ask for help, depending on how old the child is, of course, because I think an older child would have this sense to say, you know, leave in the name of whomever, or somebody come and help me. Or maybe if they know their grandparents are with them, they won't be so afraid.
So you're kind of arming them in advance. Should you have another nightmare on another night, be aware that you could ask for help, that you could suddenly bring someone into the dream with you. You're giving them the power and the tools to take advantage of their own resources in the dream and change it. Is
right.
that what you're saying?
Yes. Isn't that wonderful how
it
we
is.
Can gain power in our dreams? And you know how people believe that they are victims. A child does not have to be a victim. Nobody has to be a victim in the dreams. They just have to say, I have the power. I can change this. You know, in the name of love, leave. You know, if you're not here to help me or be good to me, then I don't want you. You're no longer needed. And just chase them away. You know, child, let a child play a game. You know, encourage, empower the child that he can do whatever he wants in the dream. He can fly. I mean, he can do somersaults. I mean, I've experienced it. So I know children are much freer in their dreams than we as adults are, because that dream power was never awakened in us. So a child, if you keep on encouraging a child and talk to the child, what did you dream about last night? Let's discuss it, you know, and say, hey, that's wonderful. Oh, you have a problem at school? Why don't you take it, pose a question before you go to sleep and see what answer you get. Or if a child is having a nightmare, oh, you had a nightmare, well, what do you think you can do about it? How would you handle it if you were awake? So a child gets a lot of power. Imagine taking that power into teenagehood and adulthood. What a gift.
Yes, yes. So is there some technique in becoming somewhat conscious in the midst of a dream drama that is starting to be frightening? How does one bring the awareness in the middle of a dream, especially if people have recurring nightmares where a certain scenario plays out repeatedly time after time, to suddenly remember that they have the power to make a shift and do things in the dream if they haven't previously? What directs that awareness?
By working on it before you go to sleep, saying, I will be aware, I will take control in my dream. It's a tool, it's a muscle, and you have to exercise it. So it might not happen the first time, because if you haven't known about it, it might not work the first time. And and it does take practice, because I know sometimes when I'm in that situation, I wake up and I say, oh, my gosh, why didn't I do this? Because I know better, you know. Why didn't I use my own techniques? So it's really just using it and getting stronger with it. So,
But I imagine, you go ahead.
No, that's okay.
Well, I was just saying, I imagine on some level it must be easier to actually work with children and tell them about this the younger they are, because once they accept it and accept that they have these abilities, just like they accept magic, then they are armed with that tool, and as they grow up, they're much more powerful and much more capable of using these techniques in their dream states than adults who are first learning it in their 40s and 50s.
Yes, yes, children learn very quickly. But it does take support, and it does take the parents working and encouraging the child, because children are open. I did a couple of workshops at one of the camps down here, and it was amazing. I mean, those girls just kept me hopping with the questions and the experiences they had. I was like, oh, my gosh. And, you know, you ask an adult whether they dream, and their answer is, well, no, I don't dream at night. I don't remember my dreams. Everybody dreams every night. Everybody. Mm-hmm. It's just us not remembering them. So it's training. Everything's training, you know. It's preparing ourselves. I've coined a phrase, purposeful dreamer, meaning go to sleep. Even a child can say, I will have a pleasant night's sleep and wake up refreshed, or something, you know, to that, in that wording. And as you do that, you're preparing yourself. You're not going to accept negativity in the dream state. And if it happens, then you say, leave. And that's it. I mean, and it comes with practice and time, and we're arming children. And when you write down a dream and you follow it, oh, you talked about recurring dreams. That's, excuse me, I got off.
Yes.
You talked about recurring dreams. A recurring dream is usually an issue that has not been resolved.
That makes sense.
So the way to handle it, one of the ways to handle it, is to turn around and face it. Usually it's a chasing or something like that. You turn around and you face it, and it's usually you. You know, it's usually the person chasing itself to teach it something. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's another thing. I can remember as a teenager, and I didn't know anything about dreams back then. I used to live on Biscayne Point Circle on Miami Beach, And I used to have this repetitive dream of this, quote, devil following me on a bicycle. And if I would have known then, I would have turned around and said, okay, what are you trying to teach me? What's the message? Because our dreams, our nightmares, are, they contain a message. They're there to teach us. So that needs to be taken into consideration. If I have a bad dream, okay, what's going on in my life? What aren't I facing? You know, maybe there's somebody, even with a child, maybe there is somebody trying to hurt me. And maybe then it, they need to say, okay, stop it. Or when the child wakes up, you go tell your mother or father or somebody you really trust that, hey, this person is trying to hurt me. And maybe they feel that of when a parents are getting divorced, they really feel afraid. All their security is being uprooted. So they might have insecurity dreams or falling dreams. And when we get to the cause of it, to the root of it, and you can calm the child, they're going to be happier and stronger.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So it's very important to talk to your children, find out how they're sleeping, ask them questions if they remember dreams, and discuss things to see if you could get some of the inside issues that, that may be troubling them or scaring them in some level, and be able to bring it to the forefront so it can be discussed, and you could help them and arm them and take care of their fears. It's a good tool for parents to have whenever the children are going through challenging times, and it just gives you a handle on what's going on with your kids, because they're not always going to be forthright in speaking to you directly and telling you about the issues that are most concerning them. I know during divorce, a lot of children will keep things in rather than upset the parents more. And the children start taking on a parental role. They feel protective of their parents, and they don't want to create more upsetness and sorrow and anger. So they kind of recede into themselves. And it's a wise parent who's very perceptive and looking for signs and symbols. And these dream insights are another valuable tool for us. So I think it's wonderful that you're sharing your expertise with us. And I know you tell us that many spiritual and ancient traditions believe that the answer to a person's most challenging questions lies within that person, and their dreams hold the key to revealing those answers. So I imagine they're just as important for the adults who are going through the divorce and looking at exploring their own dreams. And can the adults use the exact same kinds of tools?
Why not? Why can't a parent, an adult look and look at the symbols, look at the experiences, what are the emotions connected with it, and write about it, journal about it, and why not let them change the ending of it? I have a technique I call, and I don't know if a child can use it, but I'll throw it out there because I know I use it, and it works wonders. It's called a conference table technique. So it's the person, whoever they're having the conflict with, and a spiritual guide. And they can, because it's in the imagination, nobody's, you know, in the physical is being exposed to it. You know, it's in the privacy of their own mind. So you go and you say exactly what you feel, exactly. And then you allow the other person to say exactly how they feel. And it works wonders. I have used it so successfully. I have shared it with others, and they have had success with it. And it's called the conference table technique, and I just love it. There's also a Gestalt method where you sit in a chair, and the other, I don't know whether you know this one, you sit in a chair, and again, the other person sits in the opposite chair, and you play both roles, and you work it out that way, too.
Yes.
So these these are techniques we all have, but how many people use them is a different story.
And why I love these techniques, and thank you so much for sharing them, especially for adults, is that it gives you the ability to have an insight about what that other person is feeling and where they're coming from, which you ordinarily wouldn't take the time to think about or do. We're so caught up in our own feelings and justifying how we're feeling that it's very hard for us to understand the other person's side, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing this technique in your head, and first you vent and spout and scream and holler and yell and get your story out, and then you ask the other person to talk about their feelings. And at first, I imagine it's a little slow coming, but once you allow yourself to be in that other person's head, you start hearing things and start getting information and insights and observations that can be very eye-opening. And I imagine you would have a little more compassion or a little more understanding or a little more clarity about what their motivation is or why they're so upset at you. And with that, you may be able to reach a better understanding, a better level of compromise or acceptance or agreeing to disagree without as much anger. And all of that is very valuable if you're a parent who's experiencing any level of separation or divorce, because your children are going to benefit the better your communication is and the better level of interaction that you're able to have with your former spouse.
Right. But also, you know what, Roz? Why can't the child do it too? Why can't the child play act?
I guess why not is right. So it becomes a wonderful resource for them in their school yard activities and issues with friends and all the other things that are happening. Or even if they want to vent to their parents. A lot of children are very angry at mom and dad or mom or dad regarding a divorce. And this is an opportunity for them to vent and express what they're feeling, and also to hear a little bit back and understand a little bit more about what may be happening for mom and dad.
You know, there's another technique that I just learned about, and it goes along this, but this is in the physical, where you have the family together. Even if it's a divorce, you know, this is, let's see how it would work. Each person has the right to say whatever they want to share without anybody interrupting. So I don't know whether they hold, I think they hold a heart, a shape of a heart or something that is dear to them. And they say whatever they want to say. Nobody can say anything. And when they're finished, they pass the heart around. So everybody gets heard. And there's no judgment. There's no criticism. There's no comment. It's just clearing out.
Mm-hmm. And this is all very refreshing, because it isn't the way we usually communicate with one another, and that's why we have so many conflicts and communication issues. So these are novel ways of forcing us, by using a technique or a strategy, to follow the agreements, and everyone gets heard. And when you get heard, you feel validated and acknowledged on a much deeper level than ever before. For some people, just being able to say what they really are feeling and not holding it in any longer is healing enough. And for others, they at least expressed it. And then it's up to the other people who've heard that to decide whether or not they want to respond in a certain way. But the important thing is that everyone's side, everyone's issues are being heard and are out there. So I think it's all very valuable. And it's therapeutic in the sense that the more we let go of and the more we express in our awake hours, the less problems we're going to have with sleeping, nightmares, and trauma and other issues that are going to affect our sleeping and our overall health and well-being, don't you think?
Absolutely. And what's very important, though, I don't know how it is today, but I know I was brought up with children ought to be seen and not heard. And I really believe that if a child today can actually verbalize his or her feelings without being interrupted, without being criticized, that is such a wonderful help to the child to develop his or her own self-esteem and self-worth.
Well, I totally agree with you. I think that that's a very important, and one can never go wrong in parenting in listening more and lecturing less, because we all have a tendency to, as adults, to think of ourselves as the authority, and we don't listen and hear our children enough. And so that's a very important point to make, and thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing all of this with us, because I think it's another valuable tool and resource in the child-centered divorce arsenal, and so timely for you to be talking to us about it during International Child-Centered Divorce Month. Carol, I know everyone listening would like to know more about how they can access you and your resources, so give us information about how to find you and what you have available for people.
Okay, thank you for asking. My website is lifedreamsandmore.com. My email is carol@lifedreamsandmore.com. And I'm offering your listeners a chat with me to find out more about them and how I can help them. So if they want to, also my phone number is 954-612-2709. Again, that's 954-612-2709.
That's wonderful. So you're offering a complimentary free chat if they give you a call, and then
absolutely,
they can tell you about some of their issues. You could give them some advice and insight, and then if they want to move ahead and do more work with you, then that's another conversation you could have. And there's information about what you do on your website, so people will be able to check that out as well. That is wonderful. Carol, can you leave us with some wisdom for us to take away and think about when we're having this conversation with children and nightmares and the effects of divorce on our children?
I know it's very important to discuss with your child their true feelings, and they have to feel safe doing it.
Yes, safety. That's so important. So we have to put aside our adult egos as much as possible and allow our children to speak, because I know from experience that so many children are caught loving both mom and dad and feeling guilty if one parent or the other tries to ask them to favor them and prefer one over the other or make choices, and we have to avoid that. We have to make sure our children feel safe and secure and supported at all times. So thank you, Carol Morgan, for this excellent advice and insights and wisdom that you've shared with us today. And you can reach Carol so that you could take advantage of this offer. If you're listening to this call, then you can access her even after International Child Centered Divorce Month is over, because you have the link to this call. That's the important thing. And we thank you so much for making this available to us, Carol.
My pleasure.
Okay, and I hope you'll be clicking in on other in our free teleseminar series for International Child-Centered Divorce Month. This is Rosalind Sadaka, founder of the Child-Centered Divorce Network, and my website is www.childcenteredivorce.com. There you'll find my free weekly newsletter, articles, blog, coaching services, insights, advice, and tons of valuable resources of other people who are child-centered endorsed, who are professionals who can help with any issues related to divorce and parenting. Thank you so much. Until next time, this is Rosalind Sadaka. Bye-bye now.